familiar scripture. Everybody knows exactly probably where we're going. My mind has been set on ever since Brother Joe shared his heart with us last Wednesday night. If you were not able to part of that, I know that it was a blessing to all of us that were there. And I want to kind of stay in that same vein. It's been on my heart that prayer is so important. It's a vital function of the Christian life. Prayer is something that we should be engaged in on a daily, hourly time frame. That we should be doing that at all times. And so, Acts chapter number 16, you see Brother Paul and Brother Silas, at verse number 25, they have been locked up. They're in jail. Why? Because you see earlier that Paul got the call, the Macedonian call, and he begins to go into Philippi. And then there's a lady, certain lady is what the Bible says, Lydia, which is probably the very first European convert that we see that's in chapter number 16 and verse number 14. She trusts Jesus Christ and she was baptized in verse number 15 in her household. And they begin to see those things that the Lord would go forth and do. And then as Paul and Silas are going forward, then there's a demon-possessed lady that goes. And there were men that were profiting off of what this demon-possessed young lady was doing for them. And then as we see that they get angry because Paul and Silas cast that demon out. They get angry because, hey, that's our way of making money. That's our way that we were trying to be livelihood. And so, hey, Paul and Silas are causing problems. So they take them. They take them to the magistrates. The magistrates take them and put them in prison. And then when in verse number 23, the Bible says this, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into, look at this, the inner prison, and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, glory to God, and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prisoner's doors open, he drew out a sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Wow. Now, I want to know what kind of prison that was for all the prisoners, for all the doors to open up and everybody sat there. To be honest with you, they must have been in shock or something that something like that would happen. But I'm thankful that when we look at these scriptures, that very verse of chapter number 16, verse number 25, that it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas, what's that next word? You all know it, prayed. And prayer is such an important part and vital part for us that we need to seek God and seek His direction in everything that we do. So let's pray as we get started. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this time. God, we thank You for this evening. And we thank You for those that have gathered around tonight. Lord, we thank You for those that are joining us online. Lord, I beg You right now, God, that You would have Your will and Your way during this time. God, I pray You'd just touch us during this time that we have here, Lord. I pray that You would have me to say nothing, God, that You would not have me to say. Lord, guard my mouth and my mind that I might be able to preach the power and authority of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I might be able to show forth, Lord, something and lay something on someone's heart, God. The Holy Spirit move on them that they might get a little closer, draw nearer to You in a life of prayer. And it's in Christ's name that we pray, amen and amen. So prayer is really sometimes a code word, I feel like. How many of you have been going to church about all your life? I mean, you seem like you've been there. And then you know how people it just seems like it's a reaction. Well, I'm going to pray for you. Well, I'll pray for you. Well, I'll pray for you. But how many times do we actually follow that up and actually pray for someone? We tell them all the time we're praying for them. We tell them that we are actually going to do that. But how many of us actually have a list? Or I'll be honest with you, my wife is one of those people that she has sticky notes everywhere. I'm a digital guy. I have things where I make sure that I know where everything is and on my calendar and on my to-do lists. And then my phone reminds me. It's my reminder thing. So, but my wife is the opposite. She likes those yellow sticky notes. Thank God, the new house we have separate vanities. Because with the other house, when for 17 years I'd go to the bathroom and I couldn't see to brush my teeth because I was looking around all these sticky notes. That'd have been, oh, y'all must do it too. Amen. There's sticky notes all over the window or the mirror there. And you're trying to brush your hair. But she was doing that, those sort of things. It's going. But that code word that we say, I'm praying for you. Are we being reminded to pray for someone? Are we actually doing that? Are we just a religious way of saying they really need help? They need prayer. I hope I'm not getting in trouble here. But what about prayerful gossip? Well, you know, I need to tell you something so you can pray for this person. Oh my. No, you don't need to tell me anything. You just tell me they need prayer and I'll take your word for it. Amen? That prayer request gossip is not good. And when we use that sometimes, and prayer is the way that a lot of times when we say, we need to pray right now, we need to do this, there's a reactionary prayer, but there is actually a designated function of the believer of God that we're proposed by God to be praying all the time. Prayer is an action verb. It's something that we're supposed to be doing. It's not something that we're just supposed to talk about. It's to be practiced daily by men, women, boys, and girls all the time that have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. We look through the New Testament and the Old Testament. We have accounts of people that were praying. The people in the Word of God that were praying all the time. You look at Abraham and Moses. You look at Hannah, Elisha and Elijah. You look at Hezekiah, you look at Ezra, Job, Isaiah, Daniel was a man of prayer. Thank God that he knew that law had been put in place, but yet it didn't. He refused to stop praying because of that. He went on further and said, hey, I'm going to open the windows and I know what's going on. But as aforetime, I love that word, as aforetime, he went on and continued to pray. We need to make sure that prayer is such a part of our life that it's almost like breathing to us. That is our need. Here Paul and Silas is praying. They're praying, they're joyful, they're excited, and you say, but they're in prison, but yet they're prayerful. And in this word, you actually begin to look at these words that's used. The word for prayer here is used is not necessarily making a request or a petition known to God, but it's actually saying that they're just praising him. Praying to him and telling him adoration that I love you. Adoration is part of prayer, by the way. We adore God. They're in bonds, but yet they're not in bondage. They're in pain because of these stocks, but yet they're full of praise because they know who they serve and how powerful the God that they serve. Prayer should be a top priority in the Christian's life. That should be the very first thing that comes to our mind when we wake up. So what do I need to pray for? Who do I need to pray for? Where can I be praying for? It should be a constant, steady, daily flow and action of the believer in Jesus Christ. I was actually talking to a young man one time, or actually an older Christian, and he was telling me a story about how when he was younger, he went out on a camping trip. Now, how many of you like camping? Now, there's come up. Praise the Lord. Now, camping to me, there's a few different camping, all right? I love to camp. As long as there's indoor plumbing and air conditioning, I will camp with you. I hook it up to the back of the truck. I drag it to where I want. I plug the electricity in. My air comes on. I turn water on. That's my style of camping. Now, you say, that's not camping. Well, my wife honestly thought camping was a hotel without an indoor pool for a while. So, I got her to at least drag a trailer behind the truck and go somewhere. But he said, now we went tent camping. Now, tent camping is a whole nother level of camping sort of people. That's where the bugs actually crawl in still, and you still have to sweat, and things are hot, and things are muggy, and I don't know if I'd really be a part of that, but he said, we were tent camping, and then all of a sudden, we were up at Lake Lanier, he said, and a storm started coming across the lake. And he said, Brother Earl, it felt like there was a tornado coming over the top of that tent that we were in. And he said, and I wasn't saved at the time, but I knew that we needed to pray at that moment. We need to do, and we need to ask God, you've got to help us, God. We've got a lot of things going on. I need to pray right now. And he looked at the preacher that he was with, and he said, the preacher didn't look worried. The preacher was just kind of laid over on his a cot over there, and he's just kind of looking around, and he said, "Don't we need to pray right now?" And the preacher said, "Son, if you only pray when there's a time, we got a problem. But we need to be having a time and a life of prayer that when things, times come that we need to pray, we can have power during that time of prayer." And that is exactly what we need to have. And you say, well, what kind of prayer life did Paul and Silas have? Well, I guarantee you they had a consistent prayer life. And that's the kind of consistent life that we need to have with our prayers, is it needs to be a consistent. The Bible tells us, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Now, if your prayer life is sporadic, your power in prayer is going to be lacking. If you pray here and there and don't do it, but our prayer life needs to be a constant, consistent thing. We can't think of doing something on a professional level without performing that task persistently and consistently. I was actually watching a television show, and there was actually a guy that had a commercial on, and he said, to be considered a professional at any task, you must have performed that task for 10,000 hours. Wow. Now, to be honest with you, that's a lot of time. And we begin to look at how many hours it would take. We work 40 hours a week, and we work so many weeks a year, and then we're doing all these things. And then it takes several years for us to even be able to get up to a profession that we say that I can consider myself a professional at this thing. Now, should we be a professional Christian? Now, I don't mean should we be a Christian that only looks like a Christian, but should we be a professional Christian as in we are consistently living the Christian life? Absolutely. Should we be professionals at praying? I believe that we should devote our life to praying because the Word of God is telling us be consistent in your prayer life. Be consistent in this time. I have a habit, Brother Jose, I have a habit of saying, I can do that. Y'all ever done that? I love it, especially during the Winter Olympics. I love to see that. Those guys that go down that really big hill and they don't have anything but the skis on, and they just jump, and they start flying through the air. And as they're flying through the air, they just kind of lean forward. They look like they're flying. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They're just kind of flying through, and then all of a sudden, the ground comes up, and boom, they hit the ground. And they land, and they slide through. I was walking through one time. Heather was watching the Olympics there several years ago, and I saw that guy. He jumped off, and I was like, wow, that's amazing. He was flying through. Looked like Superman. I was thinking, man, I need to do that. And I said, Heather, I could do that. She said, I'd like to see you try. Now, I don't know if she meant she wanted to see me in the hospital or if she wanted to see me actually try, but I have a habit of saying, I could do that. I could be a professional at that. I could do these things. And a lot of times as Christians, though, we say, oh, I can do that. But do we? Do we live a consistent prayer life as we're supposed to? I guarantee you in Acts chapter number 16, verse number 25, Paul and Silas were not novices when it came to their prayer time. This was not the first time that Paul and Silas actually had begun to start praying. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that it wasn't because Paul in all the epistles of it that he writes so many times about what he does. He says in Romans that he's praying for the edification. In Ephesians, he's praying for enlightenment and empower. In Philippians, he prays for the fellowship of the Philippian people. In Colossians, he's praying for a worthy walk of them. In all of these epistles that he is writing, he is consistently saying, prayer, prayer, prayer. We need to pray for these things. This is what we need to concentrate on in our life, is a consistent prayer life. The prayer life of Paul was not sporadic. It was not lacking. It was not half-hearted. It was not, now I lay me down to sleep. It was not, Lord bless this food, amen. But it was a fervent prayer life. And that's the type of prayer life that we need, the life that has embers of incense of hot and ready to light at any time. And it was a constant condition that we look at. And 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we already said that pray without ceasing. We need to consistently be praying. We cannot always be on our knees, but we can always be communing with God. I've been driving down the road before, Brother Tim, raising my hand, praising God, praying to Him, and enjoying my time. And folks have looked at me like I was absolutely crazy driving through Atlanta. But apparently they hadn't seen themselves drive because they drive crazier than I do. But we go through, we have that constant time to be regular, constant, and observing that season of prayer that we need. It implies that we're making a habit. It's a second nature to a Christian. It's like the laws of the reflex nervous system that makes your body. You don't think about breathing. Your body just makes you breathe. And our Christian walk should be one of such way, and a state of prayer should be one that we just, at any idle time, oh my. You know what? The idle mind is a dangerous playground for the devil. Any time that we get down, maybe we should start concentrating on praying. Pray during that time rather than just being and letting the devil get away. Prayer patches us into the throne room of God that we can have access to that throne of grace. And I'm so excited that I have that opportunity. But we should be consistent in our prayer life. But also we have to be committed to our prayer life. Now, I'm afraid that a lot of people have commitment problems. My wife was explaining to my daughter one time the tradition of women throwing the bouquet and the men throwing the favor out. She was explaining what that meant. She said, why is it that they get so excited? The women just going all over trying to, just climbing over the top of each other trying to get that bouquet. And then there's the guys that they go out and they're like, whoa, you almost hit me with that thing. Don't hit me with, don't put it near me. So she explained to Amber, she was saying, well, the reason is because they think that those are the two people that they're the next ones to get married. Brother Steve, my boy, started laughing. And they said, now we know why the guys don't want to touch that thing. I thought to myself, guys, you're not helping your case. My wife, right then, she looked at Amber and she said, you see, guys, men, they have commitment problems. Well, that's not nice. But I can see where she's coming from. But do we all have commitment problems? How committed are we to our Christian walking into our prayer life? Being committed to that. Prayer is something that we have to be committed to. Actually, commitment actually means to be consciously deciding to be dedicated to a cause. Consciously dedicated. Making a decision that this is what I'm going to do. I am going to be consistent in my prayer life. I am going to be consistent in my Christian walk. I am going to be committed to my prayer life. That is something that we need to make sure that we're doing. So in the New Testament saints, it's obvious though when we look at that prayer was a major commitment for them. And as I begin to look, Brother Humphreys, I begin to look at this, and a lot of those New Testament saints, they didn't have influence with the government to keep themselves out of jail. But they had some prayer power to get themselves out of jail. They couldn't keep them from getting in there. But it seemed like the government couldn't keep them in there when they started getting in touch with the throne room. Whenever they begin to get committed to praying, that you saw Peter get up and the angel come in and say, hey, Peter, let's go. And he took him out and sent him out. And he knocks on the door. And I love it how they open the door and they say, they've been praying at Peter. We want Peter to be released from prison. And they open the door. And when she opens the door, she says, ah, it's Peter. And closes the door and runs in and says, it's Peter. And Peter's standing outside the door saying, wait a minute. You've been praying. God answered your prayer. Let me in. So we get committed to that prayer life. That commitment will endure. It's hard sometimes. There's tough times. Sometimes we don't feel like getting up and going to work. Amen. But you're committed to paying your bills. So guess what you do? You get up and you go make a living. That's the things that you do. Thou therefore endure hardness. How? As a good soldier of Jesus Christ is how Paul writes to Timothy that we need to endure. The commitment that endures through that. Our commitment to prayer is that we're not going to pray for something for 5 minutes and then stop and never mention it again. We're not going to pray something for a week or a day or one time. Sometimes we have to stay in and be enduring in that prayer time, committing to that prayer that God can, will, and is able to answer that prayer. Not only are we committed, though, that commitment creates a priority. What are the priorities in our life? Now, man can so many times get their priorities all messed up. We can set our priorities in one way, and we can think mainly because, to be honest with you, a man is selfish. Now, you ladies didn't have to say amen quite so loudly, but I'm talking about mankind. Mankind is selfish. And if it doesn't get to the where we're making a profit out of it, or it's not helping us, then why are we going to be committed to it? But we are getting help from it. It doesn't serve me. It's not going to be a priority. God is the creator of all things, and God is faithful to each and every one of us. And we preached this morning that God is good to each and every one of us. And I'm so thankful that God has been better to me than it seems like he's ever been to anyone else. And I can thank God for that. But therefore, I should place a priority on what God places a priority on. And if Jesus Christ himself, God Almighty, showed us as a way to teach us to pray as he continued on and said, hey, you need to pray this way, gave us model prayers, gave us direction to prayer, but then also in John 17, prayed for us in the Lord's Prayer, he dedicated that time. I love how when the disciples started looking for Jesus Christ, they knew where to go find him. Why? Because his consistent prayer life of where he went to go pray, they knew where to find Jesus Christ when they went looking for him. And I wonder, do people know that if I call between 9 and 10 o'clock, I know I'm not going to get them because somebody will be in their prayer closet. Or 6 and 7, between such and such and such and such. Is there going to be a time set aside that you know without a shadow of a doubt that nothing is going to interrupt your prayer life? Boy, there's a commitment that we have to do. Colossians 1:3, Paul is saying to the Colossians that I'm praying always for you. Consistently and committedly. Then also, confident prayers. You know, we can be confident in our prayers. We don't have to just hope. We throw up a prayer and say, we say hope in a prayer like it's a flippant thing. No, when I pray, I expect to see reaction. I expect to see God move. When I say, God, help me and do this or move in this way, then I expect that God can, because he can and he will if we ask in that way, and we can be faithful in that prayer life. I can tell you this, that prayer and faith go hand in hand. You cannot separate faith from prayer, or it will do no good. Back in the book of James, chapter number 1, it says this, but let him ask of faith, nothing wavering. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Not going left or right, not going anywhere, any side direction, just staying consistent, staying committed, and being confident, knowing I've asked God to do this, and I have the faith that God can. I'm thanking God in advance that he will. Boy, that confidence in prayer, our prayer life needs to be confident, not as I want to persuade God if he will do this for me. But no, come boldly, not in a reaction of, hey, you do this for me, but in a way that we say, Lord, I could come in the grace and mercy and make my request known, and I'm praying in Jesus Christ's name, and I know that I can be confident knowing that my prayer life can be answered if I ask in this way. It's a stabilizing factor, the faith is. Faith in Jesus Christ is an anchor in the storm. That I know that I may be wavering on issues here in my life, but my wavering shouldn't be in the faith of my prayers that I have. For Jesus Christ. Hebrews says this, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Whether therefore the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So we're thankful that we know that he has entered into the Holy of Holies and he's making intercession for us. He's crying for us. The Holy Spirit is crying out for us. And we're thankful that at Jesus, we learn to lean on Jesus and we can hear him and he will last and our faith will be built on him and he keeps us anchored in all those things. We just need to make sure that we keep faith in the mix. It's the active ingredient of our prayer. So it's a satisfying factor. You say, how is that? Well, Hebrews 11. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. You say, are my prayers honoring and pleasing to God? Are you praying in faith? We should be faithful to him. But we should also have faith in Him and in our prayers that we have. Faith pleases God, and He sends peace to us, calms the believer. So we begin to be less self-reliant, and then we be completely dependent on Him, and then all of a sudden, with nothing wavering, business begins to pick up. When our prayer life is confident, we can see things happen. Why? Because of the faith that we're having, confident in those prayers. And then it strengthens us. Have you ever had a prayer answered? I've had a bunch of them answered. And what does that do to you whenever you see the prayer answered? It builds that faith and builds that strength that, hey, I'm gonna do it again. I want to see God move again. You know what? One of my favorite things, Brother Barry, to do is when someone asks me to pray for someone that needs salvation. I love to be able to go back someday and find that person's name when they've trusted Jesus Christ and write a check mark, answered prayer. Even those other little answered prayers, we write something down and we check that thing off, another answered prayer. And it strengthens that prayer life. Gives us direction. So I'm not really preaching against reactionary prayer because we have emergencies that happen. We need to pray in those times, but we need to be more consistent in our prayer life. Being a life, a state of mind in which we are praying constantly, being in communication with the Lord. And we have to have an established, a committed, a consistent, confident prayer life that gives us power from the throne room, not within ourselves. Because you never know when emergency will pop up, Brother Cato. You don't ever know. We may have right now, all of our phones are silenced, and we may have an emergency on our voicemail or in a text message already before we walk out the door. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we do know that we have a consistent prayer life, that we can depend and faithfully on Jesus Christ, that He is there with us and for us. So we can rely on that prayer time. I want to encourage you tonight, make sure that you push towards Jesus Christ in your prayer life. We're going to take a little time this evening like we did last week. We can go ahead and split up into some direction and some things. We'll have some prayer requests here. And I want to encourage you that if you're at home, I want you to go ahead and make yourself and your home a place of prayer right now. Everywhere Abraham went, guess what he did? He built an altar. And he set up tents, but he built an altar. And he set up a tent, but he built an altar. Why? Because he knew that he needed to get in touch with God and have a consistent prayer life. He wanted God present in his life. And you can make your prayer altar right there in your living room, right there in your bedroom, wherever it is. Or we're going to make an altar right here as we gather around and pray. And I want to encourage you, folks. Let's pray. Let's pray. Have a good time with the Lord. Heavenly Father, God, I pray you'd be with us right now.